Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 88, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. When in distress on him I called, he to my rescue came. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 88. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 81. Psalm 81. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 81. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm, and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob. This He ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We will now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on pages 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God, except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, a holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son, and the Son sealeth unto us, that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we, by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, and thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, we will ask the congregation to sing from Psalter number 48, stanzas 1, 7, and 8. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. 1, 7, and 8 of Psalter number 48. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or a superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. David Arnold Dusen, Mr. and Mrs. Arjan Janssen, Mr. and Mrs. Brian Slingerland? Parents, we know that the Lord says in his word, there is one thing needful, and that then there is nothing that is so necessary than that our children may be born again. And we will do much labor for our children. And we will work on their behalf. And we will attempt to instruct them for the things of this life. And our energies, and they will be spent at the end of each day for the sake of our children. But when we may truly believe that there is nothing so important as that rebirth of our children, then the baptism of our children that will have for us so much meaning. Why? Because our children are regenerated by it? No. That is the doctrine of Rome. But because of the promise of the Lord. And there is nothing that is so precious in the life of the true church of God as the promise of the Lord. Because the promise of the Lord, that is something that shall be fulfilled. And then how necessary that we are pleading even upon that promise that the Lord is giving in the baptism of our children. What promise is that exactly? That is not a promise that your child, that this child that you bring with you this day, shall receive true regeneration. That is not the promise. What is that promise? The Lord has not promised to Abraham that every one of his children would be members of his church. But what was his promise? The Lord said, of his seed. The Lord said, of his children, the Lord will build his church. Is that not now a most precious promise that we may now lay before the Lord when that most necessary thing as parents is bound upon your heart, that the Lord may convert this your child, that you may say, Lord, it is in thy providence. Lord, it has been thy way. Thou hast brought this, my child, even amongst the true people of the Lord. Thou hast given that this, my child, may receive that outward sign of baptism. Lord, thou hast promised that among those children that thou wouldst bring within that outward church, that thou wouldst work, that thou wouldst build thy church from those children even unto the end of the world. And then we have, parents, a pleading ground that we may lay before the Lord. No, and that does not assure us of the conversion of this our child, but that gives us reason to supplicate. It gives us reason to hope. It gives us reason to bring our children here in that house of God. And therefore, we have not only such a great privilege to have our children baptized, but we have also such a great responsibility, because we know that the Lord is working through the means. And when the Lord is working through the means, that for these your children, those means are in your hands. They are not in the hands yet of your children. They are too young. And the Lord has placed those means of grace into your hands as fathers and as mothers. And therefore, what a great responsibility that we will have to answer for one day. May the Lord give you faithfulness in the use of those means, that the Lord may bless those means, and may the Lord give you a place before his throne of grace, that you may not be able to let him go except that he would bless both you and your children. We ask the congregation after baptism to stand and to sing from Psalter 425, stanza 5. Matthew, Cornelius, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Cheryl, Karina, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Kaylee, Stella, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. And when we have been baptized, each one of us in the days of our youth, Lord, Thou knowest what then we miss, if we are yet without the substance thereof. Lord, we beseech Thee that we with our dear children may not in the last day appear before Thee with such a sign that has such a blessed and deep meaning without the substance thereof. Lord, then we shall be forever lost, and we shall forever have that sign to burn upon our foreheads. Oh, that Thou may give us diligence as parents to bring up our children in that way that is required by Thee. But Lord, in the end, then we can only say that it is so full of shortcomings that it can never reach that perfection that is required. Lord, it must be washed from the beginning unto the end. Oh, we beseech Thee, convert Thou our children despite all our sin and shortcomings. Work Thou with Thy might and Thy power in the midst of the entire congregation. And Lord, that Thy church that has learned to pray may find a place at Thy footstool for the sake of us as a congregation, that we may not be lost. Lord, wilt Thou look upon all Thy church? Oh, give them to see a little into that blessed covenant which Thou hast agreed in that never-begun eternity. That is a covenant which contains everything that is necessary for the welfare of the soul of Thy people. which they have become so concerned about. O Lord, that they may be given to rest in Thee, even in this Thy holy Sabbath day. Wilt Thou be with all those that were not able to be present among us? And Lord, wilt Thou be with all afflicted and sick and weak ones? But wilt Thou bless now Thy word that we hope to proclaim in the midst of the congregation? Lord, may Thou bring it in all our hearts together, young and old, and that the preciousness of Thy service and of Thy kingdom may be so bound upon each and every one of our hearts, that Thy Spirit may so labor in our midst, that we may go from here a changed man, a changed woman. Lord, that our desire, that our hunger, and that our thirst may no longer be upon all the failing treasures of this world, but that we may be given to proclaim a little of the blessed riches of that covenant, and that, Lord, there may be a people that may be made jealous in this day, and that could not let Thee go except Thou would bless them also. Wilt Thou then remember us, keep us on every side for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 241, stanzas 1 through 4. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know Thy name. We announce that the last collection today is for the building fund. The following young people hope to make confession of faith in the coming weeks in Calgary and in Fort McLeod: Miss Alana Shipper, Mr. Eldon Van Cly, Miss Erica Vinnie, Mr. Leon Vinnie, Mrs. Joni Vinnie, Mr. Michael Visser. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory. Also, we wish to have a short meeting of the male members after our Ascension Day service on Thursday evening. Psalter 241, stanzas 1 through 4. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that psalm that was read to you, Psalm 81, thereof the 10th verse. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So far, the words of our text. Covenant blessings for God's church. First, the covenanters. Second, the command. And third, the promise. Covenant blessings for God's church. First, the covenanters. Second, the command. And third, the promise. I am the Lord thy God. That is the word Jehovah. Thus, I am Jehovah thy God. What does the Lord use? He uses his covenant name. And that is always such a great wonder. When the Lord uses his covenant name, why? Because that covenant is such a great comfort in the life of God's church. And why is that covenant such a great comfort? That is because of the covenanters. It is because of those who have sworn one to another. And what covenant is that? That is the covenant of grace. And who were those covenanters? Who were those heads of that covenant that have sworn to one another? They were God the Father and God the Son. That was not God and man, but these covenanters are God and God. This is, congregation, what makes that covenant so of such great comfort for that true church of God. That it is God who has sworn with God. That God, who is not able to lie, has sworn on both sides of this covenant. What does that mean? That means that that covenant that is so absolutely sure, that is so absolutely certain, that means that this covenant cannot be broken. But congregation, where is that comfort if you and I should stand on the outside of this covenant? Because in this afternoon, now we have witnessed the token of this unbreakable covenant. That was that token of water. That token is pointing to that blood that has been shed by that Son of God. What a wonder when we may see that token. But we have also seen something else. We have also seen that token applied unto mankind. What does that show to us? That shows that the Lord is saying something with it. Even the same as he said with that blood that had to be applied unto the doorposts of those houses. That mankind, though he is not one of those covenanters, that mankind also has a place in that covenant. What place does he have? He had no place in eternity. He had no place in that council of peace. Man was not there. He had no place in the working out of that redemption of God's church. The disciples had to learn that they would stand on the outside of this, and also will every one of God's church learn the same thing? What is that part that the church may have in that covenant? Oh, that part is the most blessed part. That part is to receive the blessings of that covenant. That is all. That is the only part that that true church may have. And that covenant of grace is that then now not a great wonder. I am the Lord thy God. Who says it? It is the Lord himself. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. That is God. God says, I will testify. What is that to testify? Or when you would come in a court, then there will be those who will testify. Then you wish to have a credible witness. And now what does the Lord say? The Lord here himself is going to testify. The Lord is a credible witness. The Lord is not a man that he should lie. And the Lord is himself here making a testimony. What does the Lord say? He says, I am the Lord thy God. That is an unconditional declaration of the Most High God. To whom? To a people that he sent out of his communion in paradise. But here we read that the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God. Thus we read here that he has accepted them again. Who can fathom, congregation, that wonder? Our first parents could not bring themselves into that garden again. No, our boys and girls know that there was an angel standing there with a flaming sword. There was no way to go back into that communion which they had left of their own accord. No, God's justice must be satisfied. Oh, did we ever learn that now in our life? I am the Lord thy God. This is evidence that the Lord has from his own side now taken away everything that did stand in the way of communion with his own people. Otherwise, it was impossible that the Lord would say, I am the Lord thy God. But you say that psalm that is written by Asaph. And Asaph, he lived much before that the Lord Jesus came into this world. That is true. Here is that evidence, that blessed evidence, that he is the Lamb slain from before that foundation of the world. But not only God must be reconciled unto his people, but his people, they also must be reconciled unto God. And we read this also in our text, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thus it speaks about the work of the Lord. In delivering his people, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. We know the history. The children of Israel were not able to deliver themselves out of that bondage in that land of Egypt. But the Lord has given them to feel something of what this bondage was. The Lord has given them to cry out under that bondage. Did you ever cry out under that bondage in which we have brought ourselves? And the Lord, we can read that he has shown them mercy. He has delivered them. That is a picture of something. That is a picture of regeneration. That is a picture of that spiritual deliverance of that church of God out of their bondage, that is the bondage of spiritual death. And what is that? That is not something that needs and may be able to be taken from the side of man. No, that is now one of those blessings that is flowing out of that covenant. That covenant between the Father and the Son. One of those blessings whereby they will be engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. Here a man becomes a branch of that living vine. Here a man becomes a member of that body of Christ. And in that regeneration, man is passive. He has no part in this work of God. That is all out of that covenant and between the Father and the Son, and worked solely on the side of that Holy Spirit. He has no hand in it, just as he had no hand in that eternal covenant of peace. But by regeneration, and then we read our forefathers, they say, and that man, he becomes himself active. That is, by virtue then of that new life, what does he begin to do? He begins to believe. Faith that is planted in his soul. Does he begin to believe in that moment, young people, in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, no. There will come a time, and the Lord will instruct him. But in that moment, he begins to believe. And he will be instructed by the Lord in those steps of grace and in the objects of faith. And the Lord will try that faith, that he may increase that faith of his people. But now our text that reveals two things that are contained in that covenant. We see the first one in our second thought, and that is a command. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, boys and girls, did you ever see a little baby bird, a little baby robin, sitting in his nest, and then he is going to receive food from that mother bird? Did you ever watch? Then you will see the mouths of those little baby birds. They are so wide open that they may receive that food from that mother. And who does all the work? That is not that baby bird. No, it is that mother bird. You just watch her now. It is springtime, and she will go back and forth, and she will be searching and searching for food, for worms, and she will come back one at a time, and those open mouths, they will be filled by that mother bird. What is that work that is now commanded unto that true church of God? Do you know what the Lord says? He says, open thy mouth. That is all. Naturally, congregation, in this life, that is not so much. Only to open our mouth. What is the signification of it? The signification of it is no work at all. Oh, what is now really that work of the true church of God in that blessed covenant of grace? That is only to prepare that they may receive the blessings all from the side of the Lord. That they may receive the blessings of the fruits of the work of someone else. Salvation, congregation, that is so easy. That is so easy. There is no work in it. Do you know what the gospel is? The gospel is a testimony. That is good news for those who cannot work. That is news that says all the work is finished. Or in that old covenant was not so easy. That old covenant said, do this and thou shalt live. And then man was required to live perfect, up to all the commandments of God. And a height which he was able to achieve, a standard of perfection which he was able to fulfill by virtue of the perfection of his creation. Behold, it is very good. And yet it was labor from that side of man. And now a new covenant. And that new covenant, that is no work at all. It only requires to open our mouth. And then, congregation, we ask, why is it so little received? Why? Do you know why? Because we are so little, we are of ourselves never in the place of those little birds. So helpless. So dependent. That we only have an open mouth. That is not the nature of fallen man. That we only will receive everything. That is not in our nature. Because in our nature is pride, and in our nature is rebellion against every good way of the Lord. Therefore, what is the greatest work of the Holy Spirit in the life of his own people? That is to make them as those little birds. That is a lot of work. That must all come from the side of the Lord. Often that takes so many years to bring a person in such a place. What do we read of the children of Israel? They are in that land of Egypt when Moses was born. Then we know that already they were throwing those boys into the river. And we do not read until Moses is 80 years old that the cry of the children of Israel came up unto the Lord. And it came to pass, we read, in process of time, that a king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And their cry came up unto God by reason of that bondage. Men will suffer so much of so many physicians before that he will open his mouth unto God. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters that are in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so we turn and we go away in a rage. It is rebellion. It is evidence that we have rejected the Lord. It is the manifestation of our deep fall. That we have completely rejected also the way of the Lord in the salvation of his own church. That is a way of free and sovereign grace. It is evidence of the mighty, of the almighty working of that Holy Spirit. To bring a man in that place where he only may have his mouth open unto the Lord. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. Oh, that was the life of that people that we read, that their shoulder that was... That the burden that was removed from his shoulder, his hands were delivered from the pots. And what was their life? Strange gods. To go after Balaam. To go after Ashtaroth. That was a bitter service. Do you know what they even had to do? They even had to sacrifice their children. We read to Adrammelech. That was their choice. That was their choice. Above all the service of the Lord. Because man would rather bring his own sacrifice. Even if he has to give his most dear possessions. Only he may have the smallest part of the honor. If only if he may have the smallest part in his own salvation. Here is now the great work of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Why is it that God's people, they are time and again forsaking that fountain of living waters and hewing them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water? Why? Solomon, going to serve the idols? Asa, seeking unto the physicians in the end of his life? That man who loved, that man who served the Lord and was delivered by the Lord? Oh, should they not be strange gods unto you, people of the Lord, that make you labor and that make you bring sacrifice after sacrifice so that you are never finished? Do you ever receive anything from such strange gods? And what is now the work of the Lord? So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Then the Lord says, I let them go. I let them go. Then they can go and walk in their own way. That is the greatest judgment that the Lord can ever give, when he will let us go our own way. But the Lord will never be able to let his people go completely away. He can never leave his people forever. And why not? Because his heart that is burning for his people, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. That is just like a father. And then he sees his children, and they depart from his ways, and he is lamenting. Does God lament one time and have joy another time? No. God is always the same. And yet the Lord shows something of what he is. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and that Israel had walked in my ways. Oh, that is that the bowels of that greater Joseph, they are yearning. They are yearning upon his own people. Open, he says, thy mouth. And not only open it, but he says, open thy mouth wide. Here is now the work of that Holy Spirit. Here is now the work of that greater Joseph. He is going to bring his brothers into that place that their mouth that is simply open. Open thy mouth wide. Here is now a crying people. Here is now a people that are brought low. Here is now a people that are laid in the dust. Here is now a people whose spirit is broken, whose pride and that is brought unto the earth. Helpless and so dependent, and now in need of the Lord. Is that also your life? Let us sing. Psalter 166, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry to thee, by all shall prayer be made. 1 through 4 of Psalter 166. I am the Lord thy God, in which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What is that? That is a promise. That is our third thought. And what is a promise? Promise that is a commitment. That is a commitment by one person unto another person that they will do something for them. Did you ever receive a promise, boys and girls? From your mother, from your father, what does that do? Promise. Do you ever think about that? What now goes on in your heart? What goes on in your mind when you receive a promise from your father, from your mother? Oh, then you are hoping on that promise. You are waiting on that promise until that time that there will be a fulfillment of that promise. Does not always come, does it? No, because your mother, your father, they are not always so faithful. Because your mother, your father, they are weak. They cannot always fulfill what they have promised. And sometimes there is a circumstance that comes in between in this life that they did not foresee. And then you are so greatly disappointed. And now in our text, we also read of a promise. And who makes that promise? And that is God. The Lord says, I am the Lord thy God. And the Lord, his promises, they are so different from the promises of a man. Why? Because he is not weak. Because he is not unfaithful. And because there is nothing in this whole world that he has not foreseen that is able to stand in the way of the fulfillment of his promise. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What is the foundation of that promise? That is his own covenant. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of that land of Egypt. And we can read that when Israel was in bondage in that land of Egypt, then we read that that cry came up unto God, and we read, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. That is what he remembered. Before that we read, the Lord is going to stretch out his hand for the people. We read the foundation. We read the basis, we read the ground. That is, that the Lord remembered his covenant. What covenant was that? That was the covenant of grace. That was the covenant sworn between the Father and the Son. That was that unbreakable covenant of which Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they may be the recipients with their children of all of the blessings that are flowing out of that covenant. That is now the only reason that the Lord can look upon the children of Israel when they are laying in their misery. And when they are laying in their bondage in that land of Egypt. That is why we read that God then, when he remembered his covenant, that God looked upon upon the children of Israel, and that God had respect unto them. And when did he do it? He did it when they cried. When they cried to him by reason of that bondage. He did not do it one moment before. Not one moment before. But only when they cried. And then we read that God heard the groaning of his people, and that God remembered his covenant. Thus, what does he say? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Not because of a cry, but it will be upon the cry of his church, the foundation that is lying in his own covenant. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. To fill, that speaks about abundance. It actually means to be full. To be full. That is what the Lord is promising. Upon the opening of the mouth. Congregation, let us read for a moment what the Lord says that he will fill with upon the opening of that mouth. Or think for a moment, if we shall have to hear this, then we are in outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when the Lord has given us a baptized forehead, brought us under those means of grace, and with such a sign, with such a deep meaning, then we shall hear this. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That is the fullness that the Lord is promising unto his own church. That is the experience of Hannah. And not only of Hannah, but that is the experience of everyone that is brought so low with that blessed, blessed woman to pour out their heart unto the Lord and to become so helpless and so dependent that they could only receive out of the hand of the Lord. Then they shall sing that those that were full, they have hired themselves out for bread. And those that were hungry, they have ceased. The barren has borne 7. And she that has had many children is waxed feeble. Open thy mouth, the Lord says, and I will fill it. What did David say? This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him, and he delivered him out of all his distresses. Oh, taste and see, he said, that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that trusteth in him. Congregation, we have seen it. We have seen it. It was before our eyes in this afternoon hour. A blessed, blessed sacrament. A It does not convert us. It does not convert our dear children. But it has such a blessed and such a deep meaning. And it is a source of so much comfort unto that true church of God. Why? Because they cannot find any grounds in themselves. That is the experience of their life. The grounds that they try to build on, they are slowly taken away, one by one. And when all those grounds are taken out from under our feet, what is now left? What is now left? Then we have one hope. That is to be included in this word. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You say, that is comfort for God's people. That is not comfort for me. That is not true. That is not true. Do you know what one of the greatest privileges is? When we are brought into that outward church of God, then we come under the supplications of that true church. We come under the prayers of God's true people. That is a covenant people. That is a people. Oh, we hope that may sometimes be given to storm the throne of grace, not only for their own children, no, but for all the congregation. We come, congregation, under those cries. What a privilege. Oh, there is hope in it. Why? Because the people, they have learned to open their mouth wide. And the Lord has promised that He will fill it. It is the promise of the Lord that He is going to work in those places where He brings His word, where He has an outward church, where men are baptized and they are given to walk in those ways of the Lord. No, they are not all Israel that are of Israel. But yet, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And therefore there shall be those also amongst the congregation that will be by that Holy Spirit of the Lord included in that blessed covenant. Congregation, can you not convert yourself? Is that now your burden? Is that not your grief? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Can you not convert your children? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Can you not make peace between God and your soul? No matter how much that you try in this life, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Mercy and redemption, full and free, with Him abide. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth,
We try to draw nigh unto thee, Lord. All include us, because from our side we sin everything away. And Lord, with the blessings, with the outward blessings, we shall go lost. Unless thou wilt come, all we beseech thee, Lord. It is thy own word, it is thy own sacrament. And we have the outward form, but Lord, we need that inward substance. Oh, we beseech thee, wilt thou come, Lord, to us and unto our children. May it be evident, may it be manifest in our midst also, in the days in which we live with our children. All will thy name not be glorified and magnified. When one sinner shall repent, all give, and that we all together may be given a place to open our mouth before thee in our own secret chambers, and there that we might learn what that blessed new covenant is, and that is to receive everything as a wretched and as a miserable, as an undeserving creature, from the side of thee who has performed everything on behalf of thy church. Lord, forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 431, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord. Wide thy mouth, believing this my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 431.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.